I want to continue from where we stopped 2 weeks ago, the series we have titled Occupy Till I Come. And the subheading today is Divine Empowerment. Divine Empowerment. And I am praying that the Lord will give understanding to as many of us who have not understood what it means to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I also pray that we have an encounter with the Holy Spirit today in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says in Luke 24, verse 45 to 49, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." This is very vital. Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. There are people who read the scripture and they don't understand. There are those who don't read at all because they've tried it and because they couldn't understand it, so it doesn't matter to them anymore. But you see, the book can be open to you, or you can open the book. Until the book is open to you, you can't understand what God is trying to say to you. But I can guarantee you, every answer you require is in the scripture. Jesus opened their understanding so that they can understand the scriptures. I pray the Lord will open your understanding today. The Lord will make you of quick understanding today in Jesus' mighty name. And said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and rise." I'm a King James person, so bear with me. "And Christ, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Jesus already told the disciples that he was going to be crucified, but on the third day he will rise again. Hallelujah. Now he's preparing them. He said, "I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not just going to be by yourself. I'm going to pray the Father to send the Comforter." Now, the Comforter is a promise of the Father. He said, "But I have located and dedicated the place that I want you to go and wait then. Wait for this promise. When the promise comes upon you, then the world will know that you belong to me." Praise the Lord. So, the disciples, 120 of them, including Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, they waited in the upper room for days on end. And they didn't just sit down waiting and chatting. They were there praying. They were there worshiping God. They were there in expectation. Let me tell you something. In this age and time we live, some people don't believe in divine healing. Some people don't believe in divine intervention. I beg to disagree. Why? I'm not saying it because of what somebody said. I'm saying it because of what I experienced. Praise the Lord. If I tell you the story of my life, I don't have time to share that. But there was a time I was hooked on drugs, narcotics. And when I came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the first thing the Lord did, let me backtrack a little bit. I was a student in Italy, a student of engineering. And I wasn't so much of a nice person then. I'm still improving. And as I drove past a place in the central Naples, I saw a van, an inscription to come and donate blood. I said, "Yes, let me help people. Let me help people. Let me go donate blood." So I went and I donated blood and I left. I was a heavy drinker I was a heavy smoker. And one day I received the mail in the post from the hospital. And they said, emergency, we need you to report to the hospital quickly. I went there. And they said, by the reason of the blood you donated, you are sick. Said, you have a very bad liver. And the doctor said, if you touch alcohol one more time, you are going to die. So I left alcohol before I got born again. Because I didn't want to die. You know? But I used to have this pain, which I didn't know it was my liver, you know? I kept on smoking. I kept on using drugs. And then one day, after I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, the first thing the Lord did was to heal my liver. I never went for any treatment. I never went to seek anything. You know, my liver was immediately healed. That was number one. And when I gave my life to Christ, and I decided by His grace, I'm not going to use drugs anymore. There's what you call withdrawal symptoms. Amen? In Nigeria, it's called Jonesing. Where you start shivering and sweating. Prince will understand what I'm talking about. You know. So, I made up my mind that night. I love to sing. When I'm on drugs, I sing. Whether there is an audience or not. And usually I sing hymns. You know, I'm always in the spirit. Praise the Lord. So, as I stopped using drugs, what you call cold turkey. I did not experience a minute of withdrawal symptoms. The desire was taken out totally. 30 years now, I've not desired it once. I've not desired drug, I've not desired alcohol, not once. I experienced it. I used to be a nobody, but Jesus came in, changed my life, called me His own. So when I look at young people today and I look at the things that I'm like, I've been there. I've done that. I've seen that. It's not worth it. Hallelujah. I can testify to the magnificent power of the Holy Spirit. I've had angelic encounters. I shared one with my wife on our way just almost a week ago. And I began to cry. Think about it. I had this vehicle, Audi 100 GLS. I can't remember what was wrong with the car. So I decided to go underneath the car. I wasn't born again. So, you know, with the jack, I turned it up, and raised the car to a level. So I went under. Some reason, I came out from underneath the car. As my head came out from underneath the car just went down. Bam! Don't tell me that was a coincidence. Don't say, oh, you were lucky. No, I wasn't lucky. There's nothing like luck. It was divine intervention. Because God knew I was going to be standing before you today and sharing the word of God. That car could have crushed me. What was it that made me remember? A young boy, recently, an actor who left his car running and put the gear in neutral and went to his mailbox. What did he do wrong? Nothing. And this car came rolling down and pinned him to the mailbox. And that was where he died. He was not even 28 years old. Hallelujah. Then, I don't think I was even 20 years old. Praise the Lord. Anyway, Jesus ascended to heaven, but did not leave us comfortless. The Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Scriptures are true. Every word of God is breath by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And they were filled. He told them to tarry. Wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Before this time, if you read John 20 verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they were hiding. After Jesus died, they went to hide. These same people who saw healings, these same people who saw miracles, these same people who saw signs and wonders, they went to hide. They were fearful. But on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I wish our word and sound can project this word. Acts chapter 2. I know we are having some technical itch. Acts 2, verse 4. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues. Like I said this morning, when you hear our assistant pastor praying in the Holy Ghost, Masataka Prasante, Limbrando Soto Korea Dalabaskande, we are not drunk, we are not stupid, we are not crazy. It is the touch of the Holy Ghost. The reality of it. Amen. We didn't formulate it. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling there in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, and so on and so forth. Some will say, but the tongues they were speaking, were they not the tongues of men? No. Let me show you. Verse 5. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were confused because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Listen to this. That's one. And verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in his own language, in his own tongue, wherein we were born. Persians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's number one. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, everybody say others. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Because now they were speaking angelic tongues, like the one I just spoke now. When you speak in another tongue, the Bible says you are speaking mysteries to God. Even though my sister here may not understand what I'm saying, it does not nullify or eradicate what I'm saying. If the Bible says pray without ceasing, How can you pray in your understanding without ceasing? A time will come you won't know what to say anymore. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit helps our infirmity. That when we do not know what we ought to pray, He helps us to pray. Masiata Gaboski. Nebra Sotoli and Deleboski ba. Barebo Suta Kadedia Namaskandoba Rose Kedianda Barashande. Speaking mysteries unto God. And does it work? You know, I have a t-shirt that was gifted me. I came up with the word Shanda works. What I just said is Shanda. Mashande Araba Sandele Boko Shanda. That's Shanda. And it works. I remember, I've shared it before. Some of you might not remember. I was in England. My first time driving in England. And I parked on the double yellow line. It was in the evening. I had no papers. I was a visitor. And then, this police car came. Bam. The guy who was with me did not tell me, don't park there. Some people can be wicked. You know. So, the police came. And then, they brought me out of the car. Said, you can't park there. And where I come from, you might beg policeman. And they will say, okay, don't do that again. So, I tried it. I'm sorry, sir. Can I move? He said, no. I'm giving you a ticket. So, there were two of them. Where's your insurance? I don't have. You know? So, I stood a little bit far off. One stood by me. The other one went searching in the car. Maybe he's going to find some drugs or whatever. I was already born again. Then I heard in my spirit, man, the Holy Spirit saying to me, so, are you going to stand there? And they are going to give you a ticket. And you are going to do nothing. Pray. So I stood there. The policeman standing beside me. And I began. Mashekete prosa tagaba. Nebra soto liande lebo sondo liande lebos. He couldn't ask me what I was saying. Mayaka tabo zodwe gele. These are people I have begged. And they said, I'm going to give you a ticket. Suddenly, the other one came, called his colleague, and they spoke for a few minutes. And they came back to me and said, we're giving you a warning. Don't park on yellow line again. And that's what solved the matter. Praise the Lord. Remember, I tell us, when you close your mouth, you close your destiny. Hallelujah. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, a man believeth unto righteousness. Hallelujah. This group of men, even though Jesus spoke and said, tarry in Jerusalem, they became expectant of what Jesus said was going to come. Many times we receive prophetic utterances, but then we have no expectation. There's no hunger within us to receive that which God has promised us. We just go about our daily business as if nothing is happening. They hungered for the promise. And guess what? They were not disappointed. If you hunger for God today, if you hunger for His presence today, I can guarantee you, you will not be disappointed. That your amen is very sick. Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is looking for vessels to fill. Let me tell you something. Praying in tongues is a very minute part of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like standing at the door of a room filled with goods. You have not taken possession until you step in and keep going further. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The Bible says He will reveal to us all truth, right? He says He will teach us all things. Amen? Now, you are praying in tongues, and that's all you do, but then you are not exposed to the truth. Satan comes to challenge you. You have nothing to throw back against the devil. Your senses say,
You are weak. Your senses say you are a victim. But the Holy Spirit in you rises up, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No, I am not a victim. I am a victor. Therefore, I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost to effect the power of God that is inside me. This man returned from the upper room empowered by God. Their fear disappeared. They stood in the open and they begin to declare the majesty of God. One of the things I told us Jesus left for us to do is to evangelize. Why are we not evangelizing? Because most of us are living in fear. You can't share your faith. The government says don't preach. You stop preaching. The first day, Peter and the likes, they spoke in tongues. They caused chaos. Thousands were born again. Thousands were drawn into the kingdom. Look at. After that, the fear of men could not stop them. The fear of punishment could not stop them. Christians are fearful. That's where we are different from the Muslims. Have you noticed that Muslims are not fearful? Huh? They are willing to die for what they believe. But Christians are not willing to die for what we believe. If we believe at all. We are glued to culture instead of being glued to God. But look at the examples the disciples left for us. Acts chapter 5, verse 25 to 32. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Now they imprisoned them because they were preaching. They released them, they went back to preach. Amen. Some will say, I don't want to go to prison. Huh? I don't want to be punished. You see, if you are not suffering as a child of God for the kingdom's sake, you should check your salvation. I'll say that again anyway. Verse 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. They followed them. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we strictly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Thank God they did not keep quiet. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter, the man who denied Christ three times, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. How many of us can say that? I'm supposed to obey God and not be afraid of man. Amen? I must obey God. I don't care what man can do to me. When you have the Holy Spirit on you, you have that kind of boldness. Hallelujah. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hang on a tree. They used the opportunity to preach. Him had God exalted with his right hand to be the prince, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses. We are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. So is the Holy Ghost, whom God had. They took the commandment personally. You know, there are certain things you read in the Bible, you say, that's for Pastor Carl. That's for Sister Maureen. That's for Dr. Oni. That's for the ministers. That's not for me. No, it's for everybody. Where he said, go ye into all the world. Go ye, everybody, not just some people. Go ye, everybody. One-way ticket. Share your faith. The world is in decay. Sin is reigning. And Christians are quiet. Whereas if we put on the unstoppable power of the Holy Spirit, then our voice will be heard. You know, you echoed my prayer this morning. If I'd come to the prayer meeting yesterday morning, my prayer was, God, give me a voice that people will hear. Give me a voice that people will listen to. Give me a voice that will make changes in people's lives. Hallelujah. They had the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. They had boldness in them. Let me tell you, church, when people of God fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and we yield our bodies to the control of the Holy Spirit, then you have an unstoppable power. The Bible says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they never saw a classroom. They don't even know what a blackboard is. They don't know what a pen or a chalk is. Ignorant men, fishermen, ordinary men. God is still using the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He said they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We had an encounter a few days ago. A guy, he just looked at me and said, I perceive you are a pastor. You are a man of God. I said, yes, how did you know? He said, I could just feel it. When was the last time somebody saw you and said, we feel that you are a child of God? Because we are no different from the world. Hallelujah. Anything goes. That's not the way it's supposed to be. They took knowledge of Peter and James and John. Why? That they had been with Jesus. Why? Why is the world winning today? Because they can't see God in us. Isn't that why a bishop will go and beg a Muslim? Because of the fear of his life. Huh? And be begging in the name of Allah, the most merciful. Where did you see Allah merciful? Allah the Bieda. Amen? Allah the mass murderer. Allah the killer. Huh? Fear will make you subject yourself to people you are supposed to be reigning over. All the disciples, they had Jesus written all over them. And we are grown, we have been in church, we have received Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. We must make sure that this reflects in our families, this reflects in our children, this reflects wherever they go. People must know that these people are different. They are children of God. Guess what? Persecution did not stop them. Sufferings and pain did not stop them. Saul came to terrorize them before he became Paul. They ran, but they carried with them their belief because God did not want them to just congregate in one place. He wants them to reach other people. So instead of carrying their culture, their natural culture, they carried the word with them everywhere they went. When was the last time you shared the word of God with somebody? When was the last time you told somebody that Jesus saves? Amen? You see, the truth of the matter is, because I say it to somebody and I share it with somebody, it's not, I'm not the one to convert anybody. The conversion belongs to the Holy Spirit. The conversion belongs to God. I told you how I got saved. That brother, he wouldn't leave me alone. He will preach and preach and preach until one day I got tired of him. I said, okay, give me the Bible. But I still didn't get born again. It was later, that I got born again. Hallelujah. What you are afraid of actually may be what God wants to use to reach out to other people. What you are scared of may be what God wants to use to touch other people's lives. Hallelujah. Until the day we wake up and the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit becomes evident in our life, then we will realize what we have. And how we can use what we have. Jesus stood in John chapter 7 verse 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In parentheses he say, but this spake he of what? Of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. It was given on the day of Pentecost. Why? He said, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. In closing, I have a few things to say. I just rushed through this message because we have quite a number of things to do. Until you choose your experience, it's never going to be your reality. Until you choose your experience, it will never become your reality. When I searched through scriptures, when I got born again, and I saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't go to any man, I went to God. I went to God in fasting and praying. I said, Lord, I want to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's written in your word. I didn't have so much understanding. In my sleep, I began to speak in tongues. When I wake up, I don't speak in tongues. But when I preach, my message began to change. People began to oppose me. Until a man of God asked me one day and said, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? And I said, I speak in tongues in my sleep. I've been fasting and praying. He said, no, you don't need to fast for it. It's a gift. Just believe God. Ask God. Be hungry for it. I said, really? Is that all? And that day came, a meeting like this, I sat down. It was like an electric bolt from heaven. Just came all over me, bam. I began to speak with other tongues. I turned around and I looked at everybody like I'm looking at you. And I experienced the kind of love I've never experienced before in my life. That was the first day God and I had a conversation one-on-one together. And as stubborn as I used to be, as soon as I entered into my gear of stubbornness, God just became quiet. Said, I've told you what to do. Go ahead and do it. You want the reality of the Holy Spirit. You must expect that experience. You must want it. You must hunger for it. Because it can change the whole outlook of your destiny. Hallelujah. I don't go about my life based on what I have and what I don't have. I'm happy regardless. Amen? I don't wake up in the morning without a song in my heart glorifying God. Whether I have money in my bank or not, I don't care. As long as I have the joy of God, I can't go 10 minutes without praising God in my heart. That's the truth. The Holy Spirit is there. He wants to help you to be who God has created you to be. He wants to help you to do what God created you to do. Many are still groping in the dark. The simple issue of purpose to many is a well of confusion. You don't even know why you are alive today. That's a miserable life. You don't even know why God gave you life to wake up out of your bed today. That's a miserable life. And it's so simple to find out. In the place of prayer, just go to God. Why am I? He said of Jeremiah, from your mother's womb I have separated you. If he said to Jeremiah that, he's saying the same thing to you. You are separated to be somebody. Out of the millions of sperms swimming towards one egg, you were the one chosen. There must be a reason for it. It's not an accident. You are not alive as an accident. It doesn't matter whether your father and your mother, they were married before you were born. Who cares? Do you know that with God there are no bastards? Somebody tell your neighbor, say, God has a purpose for your life. Go and find it. The Holy Spirit is also there to help us give back some of the things we have received of God. Isn't that what Paul said? That which I receive is what I'm giving to you. Peter and John said, silver or gold we have none, but such as we have. Such as I have, not such as we have, such as I have, give I unto thee. Rise up and walk. There's something God has given you that God expects you to share with mankind. Let the world know what God has encapsulated inside you. Let your gift shine. Let it be stirred up. The Holy Spirit is the force that can stir up the real you. Don't just sit down and wallow in sadness and time is passing by and then you are comparing yourself with somebody else. Look at what that person has. Look at what that person is doing when you are supposed to be doing something. Do you know how many types of fish are in the ocean? Species of fish that are in the ocean. Not one is envious of the other. Hallelujah. The whale swims by itself. The shark swims by himself. Amen. The salmon swims by himself. The salmon is the only fish that swims contrary to the current when they want to multiply. That speaks to you and I. You want to increase? Go against the tide. Hallelujah. I say go against the tide. And let the Holy Spirit enable your potential. I see greatness sitting before me. And don't think, oh, I'm too old. Abraham was how old? He was in his late 70s when God called him. It's never late. As long as you can move your limb, as long as you have a voice, you can make a difference. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you to make a difference. Let me tell you, there's only one thing that eats me up where Wisdom Assembly is concerned. And that is to become a relevant church in this community. A church that will touch people's lives. A church that will transform other people's lives. Not just us gathering Sundays and we hear the word, we clap hands and everybody go their way. But what do we do during the week? What are we doing? What is the plan? What do we have planned for the people in the midst of whom we live? That is what eats me up every day. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the strength we mostly refuse to acknowledge. Our best comforter, our best teacher, hallelujah, our guide through the labyrinth of life, amen, is the one who can help us through the hardest time in life. Whether you are a divorcee, your husband left, or your wife left, or somebody left, the Holy Spirit doesn't want to leave. Hallelujah. Sometimes people need to leave. And when they leave, good riddance to bad rubbish. You are not the one losing, they are the one losing. Amen. When you leave, when they left you, they didn't know what you were going to become. And when God, when you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, then you see God bringing them back. All that you have lost, coming back to you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit wants you to give up the life you are holding on to by force so that He can give you the life you are really created to live.